You're listening to Talking Boat Stuff, the Waterways Podcast, where we celebrate everything in, on, and around the water. This episode was recorded live at the 2024 Toronto International Boat Show and is powered by America's Boating Channel. Now, here's your favorite captain of conversation, Stephen Bull.
Sergeant Dave Moffitt, the Marine Unit Coordinator from the Ontario Provincial Police. Thank you for joining us on Talking Boat Stuff, the Waterways Podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, well, thanks for accepting it. First of all, let's get the stats out of the way first, because those are some big things. When we're talking about issues, incidents, drownings, what are we looking at numbers-wise in the province?
Well, we've collected data for the last 13 years with the OPP, like good data. And so far, and this is just OPP patrolled waterways, we've lost 312 people with marine fatalities. And that is basically, it is entering the water involuntarily and a boat's involved. So someone's swimming off the boat, not a marine fatality. And on that note, 87.6% of those fatalities are people not wearing life jackets. So an astounding amount, which comes to 270 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I mean, hard to say exactly would they have survived necessarily. I mean, everyone's a little bit different, but probably a good chunk of them, of that 270, likely would have, or at least would have had a chance. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. The numbers would be completely backwards if they were wearing a life jacket.
All right. So let's go through some of the other questions that you guys get all the time.
Sure.
Every province, every state, you know, there's a lot of things that are the same. There's a lot of things that are a little bit different. So in Ontario, which is popular with loopers, this is the most beautiful part of it as far as most people. So for the Americans listening, especially, alcohol on board, when can you drink?
It is probably the most common question we get. I was actually walking over to the booth and four guys stopped me with beers in their hand and asked me, what are the rules? We have a bet going on. So the rules are this, real simple. If the boat's underway, meaning that the boat is not attached to the ground by any means, by docked, anchored, or beached, you can't have alcohol open at all. Now, the only rules about alcohol being open in a boat is that you have to have permanent. And that's the big parentheses around that. Permanent. Permanent cooking, permanent sleeping, permanent head. So you can't have a porta potty on board. You can't have a hibachi that's strapped to the railing. It has to be permanent. So basically, it's cabin cruisers that are traveling our waters that are anchored, docked, or beached. You can have open alcohol. It basically makes your boat a private place under the Liquor License Control Act, which you're allowed to drink in.
Right. So it's not, you know, you can't sleep on, I've got a pontoon, there's a bench, I'll sleep on that. It's like sleeping on my couch at home. No big deal. That's not permanent.
That's
facilities.
Not permanent. Yeah. And we've had, over the years that I've been here, we've had people that have bought pontoon boats, and they've made it a point to run over to our booth to tell us about how excited they are that they're allowed to drink on the pontoon boat. And we kind of say, well, maybe you should go talk to you and get your money back, because you can't drink on a pontoon boat whatsoever.
What about cannabis? So if I can, you know, light up a cigarette, can I just spark a joint? Is the same thing? I can smoke a joint on my boat?
Yeah.
Or maybe not as the captain, you got to stay sober. But if I got someone on the boat, are they allowed to have a joint?
So the cannabis rules on the water are the exact same as the alcohol, right? You still have to have those three items on your board, your vessel, and you have to be beached, anchored, or docked.
So yeah, it's got to be a floating accommodation.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. What about things like PFDs when it comes to the laws and legalities? Let's start with smaller things and work our way up. So a kayak, canoe, or stand-up paddleboard, am I legally required to be wearing a personal flotation device?
Yeah. So what you got to remember is that whatever you're on the water, doesn't even matter what it is, but if you're using it for navigation, so we have had people that have been on picnic tables that have a little 5-horsepower electric motor, right? Maybe a 5-kilowatt motor attached to this table, and they're traveling down the water. And usually they have open beers, usually open drinks, but that is a vessel designed for navigation. You're actually going from one place to another. So with the canoes, with the kayaks, with the paddle boards, if you are using it to go from one place to another, you need carriage equipment that is required. So life jacket is a no-brainer. Every vessel that is designed for navigation needs a life jacket. And then goes on about a whistle and a throw line and a paddle, and it depends on what vessel you're operating. If you're using the stand-up paddleboard, like my kids when they're younger, used stand-up paddleboards to play on the beach, that's a pool toy. That is not being designed for used for navigation. So therefore, there's no carriage requirements for that pool toy. It's not a vessel, it's a pool toy. So that's the big difference.
All right, I'm just going to adjust your mic for a sec.
Talking too loud?
No, not too loud, but Dave, the photographer, great guy, but very soft-spoken, so I had it.
Oh.
We're in there, so I had a couple pops. Anyway, now that I'm out of your personal space, I'll continue.
Thank you for that, yes.
Okay, so getting a little bit bigger when we're on to power or sail vessels, in terms of what I need, because they're slightly different. It's based on size. Not breaking down all of them, but what's the best way or the key things? I guess it's life jackets, flares, stuff like that, right?
Yeah. So if you have any questions whatsoever, there's a fantastic document that Transport Canada provides. It's called the Safe Boating Guide for Pleasure Craft. It's downloadable. All you have to do is Google Safe Boating Guide, and it will tell you. So the sizes differ. It could go from under 6 meters to 6 to 8 meters, to 8 to 12 meters, and 12 to, keeps going up. And as you go up, then as the vessel gets bigger, then you're required to have more than one fire extinguisher. You're required to have a fire axe. You're required to have a fire bucket, right? So there's so many things that I can't really explain to you all the different the changes between the vessels.
Yeah, we'd be here all day to get through all of them.
And the we get new types of vessels every year that we slowly try to update. A perfect example is the propeller-driven surfboards, which are illegal in Canada right now.
Really?
Yeah, they are illegal. There is some really great work done by that community, the surfboard community, that are lobbying Transport Canada to make changes. And there will be changes on that, as there should be, right? If we can do it in a safe manner, a shrouded propeller, a cutoff switch, that's going to go a long way to make the sport a really safe sport. So there's some great, great changes coming up.
Perfect. Okay, well, what about, flares? Same thing. There's a lot of variety there, but sort of the bullet point, there's different types that have better uses at different times, right? So there's type A, B. There's four types.
There's four types, A to D.
All right.
There are single flares. There's multi-flares. There are parachute flares. And there are smoke flares.
Is there one that, the OPP Marine unit thinks is better, or does it depend on?
Yeah, it depends. I don't think you're going to use a smoke flare at night.
Right.
Because no one's going to see you. So, but all the other ones, they're all great. Just remember that they do expire after 4 years from the manufacture date. And they, you can't just shoot them off. Once they expire, you can't shoot them off on the 4th of, Canada Day. I was going to say 4th of July. That's so American. On Canada Day, you can't do that. That's illegal, right? Because that is a signal. That is a distress signal. So numerous times we get calls from our communication center saying there's a flare going off on, point of land. So we send all our assets out to see what's going on, Coast Guard, everything, and then we learn that they're shooting it from the shoreline. So
speaking of being, you found the flares used properly, that is. There's a lot of other technologies and techniques and apps and things. So, people might see the term EPIRB around for bigger water and things like that. What is that, and how does that help people? Is that something you'd use in like a smaller lake, or is that big water kind of thing?
Yeah, mostly in a big water setting. We have EPIRBs on all of our big vessels. We have 11 large vessels throughout the Great Lakes, 32-footers, 38-footers. Big water. So what an EPIRB basically does is if you capsize your vessel, then your EPIRB will, it's in a hydrostatic release kind of canister, and it will release. And when it releases, it floats to the surface, and it will send a signal to the Coast Guard of your whereabouts. So it's an emergency beacon. You can also get personal locator beacons, which are items that fit on your life jacket. So if you go overboard, they'll be activated and they will send a signal as well to the Coast Guard.
And something we talked about on the show on season two, which I hadn't heard of, which is worth mentioning again because it's free and the OPP actually use it, the app, What Three Words.
Yeah.
So explain what that is again. And again, if people are listening, to be clear, this is not a paid advertisement. No. You guys get no money from them. No. I don't. I will take money. I am for sale, people. I am a sellout aspiring. But but in this case, this is just about keeping safe. So explain what Three Words is and how the OPP use it.
Yeah, the What Three Words app is amazing technology. We were when we first learned about it, we were like, we're all in. And it's a it was invented by a Cambridge mathematician overseas, and they basically split up the world, and I might get this number wrong, but into 7 trillion squares, and each one of those squares, and it's a 1 meter by 1 meter square, and each one of those squares has three words that represent that one square. So if you get in trouble, you can call us, any comm center, Toronto Comm Center or OPP Comm Center, and you can either say, these are my three words, or they will get your cell information from you, and they will send you a text which has that, you know, basically says from your location what your three words are and will tell us. Now, we can zone in beautifully on your location, and I'll tell you why it's so fantastic. We have had... In the past, so I've been on the job for 29 years, in my 29th year, and we have a call where someone hasn't come back and or someone has called and they're like, I don't know where I am. So what what Three Words does is tells us exactly where they are. We would send ERT members, our emergency response team, like 10, 12, 15 of them. We would send officers from the local detachment to it. We would send canine, we would yada, yada, yada. And for instance, so we had a snowmobile that he was on the ice at Lake Kuching, hit a pressure crack, snowmobiling by himself, hit a pressure crack, he broke his leg, and it was a wicked snowstorm. So that case, we would send out a ton of officers out and try to search for him. And it would take hours and hours and hours. And he got a hold of our comm center and said, I need some help. He then, we sent him the signal. He told us what those three words were. We put it into our computer. Bang, we had an officer there in 12 minutes.
I've told people about this app since we did the interview. And, you know, the haters will first say, we already have that. It's called GPS. And so what I say to them in the moment is, okay, I'll give you 30 seconds to tell me your exact GPS coordinates right now and recite them in the proper way. First of all, a lot of people don't know where to find them on their phone. Yeah. And then if you see them, so someone else, I showed them. I said, okay, read this. Like, you're telling the police where you are. And okay.
Simple.
I'm like, what do you think would be easier? Doing that or saying apple, wheelbarrow, tree?
Exactly. And the one thing about the What Three Words, too, they're such a fantastic marine application as well. I would suggest that anyone that has kids that are, you know, have a PCOC and you give them permission to operate a smaller horsepower vessel, to have that app downloaded on their phone so that if anything happens to the vessel, anything, you know, even if you run out of gas or if he's hit a shoal or something, he can let his parents know just by calling his parents and saying, these are my three words, put it in the phone, and then there's a compass application to that, and it will point directly to the location where those three words were given. So you can get in your boat and you can just follow the compass, follow the arrow to where that is. So there's a fantastic application. It's a great app. We've used it a ton and saved a lot of people because of it.
And the comm center, like if I call 911, they'll know what it is if I say it? It's,
yep.
Okay.
100%. 100%. So, yeah, and, you know, one thing about the lat long, if someone, you know, is marine savvy and gives a lat long, and sometimes those numbers get backwards, you know, and that's a big deal. If you want to say 79 degrees and out of, you know, panic, you say 97 degrees, well, you're in a wrong place of the earth, right?
Yeah.
So, you have to be really clear of that. So it's a very easy app, and we're going to continue to use it.
I like it. All right. Well, you alluded to kids and things like that. What are the laws around kids boating? I've got an 8-year-old. He loves being on the boat. He wants to, you know, kayak, and he wants to drive the boat and things like that. We give him little jobs. You can't let an 8-year-old behind the wheel of a big boat. Can I let an 8-year-old or a 12-year-old, you know, if I got a little 5-horsepower tin boat or something like that, are they legally allowed to operate the vessel?
So they're under the Canada Shipping Act 2001, there are age horsepower restrictions. So anyone under 16 can operate, from 12 years old to under 16 can operate up to a 40 horsepower by themselves, as long as they have a PCOC, a pleasure craft operator's card. If you are under that age, then you can operate up to a 9.9 by yourself with a PCOC. If you have adult supervision, so if you are in a boat and your parents, you know, it's over 40 horsepower, it's your dad's inboard, outboard, et cetera, then you can operate that vessel as long as you're under strict parent supervision or it's actually adult supervision.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So if I have, I've had my son on my lap, we're on my dad's boat, we're out in the lake, and I've, you know, got control, but he's holding the wheel.
Right.
So technically he's helping steer, but I'm overseeing everything because I'm in control as an adult. That's legit. But if I leave him there and be like, hey, you've grown up on boats, take me across the lake and sit beside him, no good.
So the biggest piece is the PCOC.
Oh, right.
So if you have a child sitting between your lap, between your legs and steering and has no training whatsoever, then that's a no-go.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
So, but you can.
I've never done that.
Sure. But if that person, if you feel confident as a parent that there's some wonderful operators that are young, right? Wonderful. They've grown up on the lake. They know their way about boats. They can operate a boat way better than a lot of adults. So you can let them drive. However, they have to have that PCOC. That's a huge piece. And your parents can be the supervisor, right?
Okay. Of it.
But they have to be in the vessel with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically, you need the PCOC. That's the bare minimum is what we're looking
right
at, basically, across it.
Yeah.
All right. Question. I'm out. I'm boating around. I see one of those boats with those three letters, OPP, on the side, and they put on their whoop whoop lights. What do I do? What's the proper technique? I mean, I'm not saying, like, hammer it. Do I approach you, or if you want to come over, or do I just, like, put her in neutral and wait and then let you guys approach? What's the etiquette, the preferred etiquette?
So the etiquette, first of all, is not to call them whoop whoop lights, right?
I'm using technical terms here.
Apparently. I'd say our officers are skilled officers. We go through a rigorous training. Docking's a big piece of it. Sometimes some of the operators that we stop are not real confident. So if it was me, I would say, please put your boat in neutral. I'll come to you. And we put lots of fenders out. They put their fenders out. So there's no damage whatsoever. And if there is an issue with the wind, the waves, the weather, then we can always direct them to a place of safety, and then we can do a vessel stop there. So I guess the moral of the story is listen to what the police officer says and just follow their directions. No one will get hurt then. Nothing will get damaged, hopefully. And then go from there. Yeah.
All right. Ending on a happier note for the boat nerds out there. What kind of vessels do the OPP Marine Unit actually use? Because most of the ones that I've seen are pretty similar, but I've only ever seen, you know, you guys driving them. What are they? Are they custom made for the police, or
no,
are they something I could get?
So there's a certain type of vessel. We have a lot of Boston Whalers, and they're 24 footers, 21 footers, but they are the Justice Edition. So they have an enforcement angle to it, I guess. Doesn't mean they're faster, doesn't mean they're better. It's the same hull. We just have more sturdier posts for the canopy. You know, we have vertical fenders.
To hold up the whoop-whoop lights.
Yeah, hold up the whoop-whoop lights, right. So we have, if we're on the Great Lakes, we have 32 and 38 foot hikes. We also have a boat called the Canter. They're all fully aluminum. They're search and rescue boats for the Great Lakes. And then we have those Boston Whalers. We have sea swirls that are just about to be released from OPP territory, and we're going to replace those. We have smaller 19-footers, 17-foot harbor crafts. So we have a vast variety of boats that are great for what we do. And we're, you know, with the purchases that we're going to do in the next 3 years, hopefully, if the Ontario government pulls through for us, then we will get some really fantastic vessels that are going to be so much greater than what we have, hopefully.
I think I've even seen the one and only time I went to Potahawk for that big party. There was like a little jet boat kind of going around there. Speaking of Potahawk, by the way, that's a big party. It happens all the time. A lot of police presence, Coast Guard, and all of that. Is what happens there, like, should I avoid that? Is that an illegal party, or is it one of those sort of gray areas?
It's a real tough thing as enforcement officers go. We do have, we have our big hikes, our 32-footers there, but we also have a couple, we have Scarabs, oh my gosh. There used to be Bombardiers, but Scarab bought them.
The
Challengers, they're smaller. They're 14-foot twin-engine jet boats. And they're great because we can get within the anchor lines, within the people, etc. There's a lot of drinking going on there. We have numerous impaired officers, or it's impaired officers, excuse me.
We'll clean that up in post.
Clean that, yeah. We have numerous impaired charges that we lay at Potahawk. And especially if it's good weather. Last year was horrendous weather, so Potahawk was a non-event, which was kind of nice. But it's a hard thing for us to do because there is so much drinking and there's so much bad behavior. And we, as officers, we want to just make sure people get home safely. So we have to focus on the important stuff, right? And I'm not saying that, you know, the drinking in public is not important, but we got to, people operate boats poorly there. So we got to focus on that. So it is a really, really tough event for us. And we come out of there thinking, you know, thank God that no one got hurt or no fatalities or no one's missing. We just want everybody to get home safely.
It's only fun on the water if you get home from the water.
Right. Absolutely. That's the number one goal. That's why we do what we do. We just want people to get home safely.
I like it. All right. Well, I'll let you get back to your booth safely. Sergeant Dave Moffitt, thank you for joining us here.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for your, all your support, Steve, and Waterways, and it's been great, and I'm hoping to work with you a little more in 2024.
Absolutely, and speaking of which, congratulations on your CASBA Marine Professional of the Year.
And thank you, and congratulations on your CASBA as Best Media Safety, right?
Right, how you get the OPP to give you the shout-out. You got to make sure you congratulate them first.
No, it's great stuff you do, and thank you for your support with all the safety videos you do, because that really... it really gets the message out. And that's, again, that's all we want to do is just educate people and get them home safely.
I love it. Well, thank you as well. Watch this. High production value exit.